Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for Ace on the House comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday. But at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority is the safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/ACE to learn more. Right, Matt?
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
All right, we got an action-packed show planned for you guys today. As per usual, we cover all your DIY needs on our show, Stromer.
You know, and there's also a hearkening back to some fine TV golden era episodes that you, again, with crystal clarity, recall things from your youth.
The Simpsons and Disney movies as well, about the mule that kicked field goals. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld, everyone. You got a DIY project you want to get through, you want to save money, you want to avoid paying the repairman. Big or small, home or garage, ordinary household glue, well, that's ordinary. You need something stronger. You need something better. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner, and the pros and DIYers trust JB Weld for over 50 years. It's made in the USA. I hung out with these guys in their booth over there in SEMA in Vegas a few years ago. Started talking. I said, I love your product. I said, good. Well, come aboard. So I just used the Instant Weld, and I just put it on the back of my phone on the little metallic circle so I could use it for the magnet on the mount on my dashboard. Keep JB Weld, toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room, everywhere. And it's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It's JB Weld.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church be on. Mandate, get it on.
People have to get it on.
Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Kroll over here. Stromer's over there. I want to thank Rocket Mortgage and Tommy John and JB Weld and Geico for sponsoring this program. Stromerific, what are you working on?
my panther impersonation.
Sweet.
So I was digging yesterday in the stupid yard, which, by the way, I got to send photos. It looks bucolic and glorious.
Mm-hmm.
But I was digging in the yard, and I hit the conduit, dug it up because I got to reroute some electrical. And what did I find? Exposed wires in the ground by the hot tub where the kids get out in the wet dirt.
Really?
So now I have to I cut the line. I stopped the circuit. I got to redig a new trench and basically dig up an entire run that I just trenched for irrigation not 4 weeks ago.
Hold the phone. Variable conduit, wires exposed. Now, I'm going with the conduit pulled apart where their coupler was and exposed the wires.
I wish it were just that simple, sir. Oh, no. It's completely disintegrated because it's so old.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it literally rotted out, and now it's just open wire in the dirt, like 9 inches below the surface of a wet area that my kids always get in and out of for the hot tub. So, turn the circuit off, new trench in the existing trench that I already made a month ago for all the irrigation because I just couldn't face digging another 20-inch trench somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled out everything, pulled out all the sprinklers and the things that I just put in. kind of demoralized yesterday, but then got through it. And here I am today, knowing that my children will not die of electrocution.
Are you working on customer homes these days?
I am. I'm glad you asked that, Mr. Carolla. I am. I just put the slabs in the job yesterday. The client was very happy. The downside is when I painted the wall to be able to then move furniture back on the new stained hardwood floors to not have to move them again, she realized, you know what? I don't like this color. I'd like to change the entire color of the rooms now. I bought a 5-gallon only because I always do, knowing that people often do that. So now I have to wait for her to decide on a new color. Hooray, homeowners.
Well, you'll be happy to know that when I was talking to my old dad last weekend and he was asking me what I was doing, I said, well, I'm pretty much do the same thing I always do, which is I do a podcast, I make documentaries, I write books, I do stand up, I work on cars, and I do building projects.
And then what if he said, are you still working for the closet company?
That's basically what he said. He thought I was doing customers' homes.
And he did?
Yeah. And then I yelled, what do you think? I'm some sort of Stromer-esque loser? I'm a C-lister, bitch.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm a D-list cable sensation.
Right. And I told him, let's not confuse me with Stromer or Ty Pennington. I'm a celebrated author.
That's right. Well, you know, I do have a book I sold back in the day.
I know. It's called Stromer with a Shirt Off Holding a 2x4.
It's called Stromer with a capital S. No, it's called Do-It-Yourself Family, where I taught the parents how to make stuff for their stupid kids.
Yeah.
I sold exactly 7 copies. It was huge.
Did you get an extra 1,000 copies to store? Because everyone I know, including myself, who's written a book, when you're done, at a certain point, they go, look, we have 3,000 hard copies left. Yeah. Now, we can either burn them in a sort of Hitler-esque Kristallnacht, you know, cobblestone center of town ceremony, or...
You can
buy your 3,000 books for $14, and then you go, you're not going to throw away my books. I'm going to buy them, and then you buy them, and then they sit in boxes in your garage because I'm not exactly sure how you can sell them. Now, for me, I go around the country doing shows, and every time I go, I bring 14 books. So after, you know, according to my calculation,
do you find 14 is the number that usually you're right around?
The hard covers are heavy, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We bring 20 books, and according to my calculations, in 171 years, we will have sold all the ones that are sitting in the back of my shop.
Yeah.
But we've actually gone through. I'm kind of curious, Gary, and I don't know if it's calculable. But
it'd be a little tough, but it's
we got like 3,000 of these books.
I'd say we've gone
5-6 years ago.
I'd say we've gone through at least 20-25-30%.
25-30%.
I think the publishing world is wacky because you know the numbers are also wacky, like how they track sales and all that stuff. I never quite figured out if they knew really what they were doing.
Well, they have a better handle on it now, but either way, I got Bald Brian's books. I got 2,000 of Bald Brian's books back there. I don't think he's selling those. We got to figure out what to do with those things.
Well, what I do with some of mine is that I find during the holiday season when I'm out of those self-starter logs, they actually light up pretty good if you douse them with gasoline.
I was thinking of making a fort out of them.
Yeah. Why don't we do a co-mingle fort with both our books, and then we can burn it at Burning Man. Let's go to Burning Man, burn the books.
I think they
We can put horns on and walk around high on LSD.
I think they scrapped that this year. All right, Matt, Porcelain Punisher, do we have questions?
Yes, we do. As always, please email us your video and email questions. You can reach us at aceonthehouse.com. at adamcarolla.com. You can go to aceontheroof.com if you ever want to see any of the videos or pictures. And we have a video here from Dr. Lisa in Cleveland.
Ooh, a doctor.
If I'm not mistaken, she may have been on stage with you pulling balls, Ace, while you were in Cleveland.
Wow. Take it easy, everybody. Hey-o.
If we make it all the way to the end of this episode, she embedded a picture of herself with you and presumably her husband. So we can see if we remember her.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the video question.
Okay. Hi, guys. It's Lisa here. This is the basement, and I wanted to ask you guys a question. Here is the new wall that we did, and a pocket door.
Ooh, pocket
door. And I was putting new base mold in. Of course, I have to glue that one because it's on the pocket door. Can't nail it through. Ooh. And I'm kind of proud of my cuts there.
She's
amateur,
a dentist, right?
But the problem is, and our wall wasn't bad, but the existing wall is uneven. And right here is a big gap, and there's no 2x4 stud to nail to. And it flows in. And over here is another area where this little out area is uneven. And the only thing we can think to do is to caulk it, but I don't know how that's gonna look. Just wanted to get your ideas on what we could do to make that and that not so weird looking.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Listen to you and Stromer every Saturday. It's hilarious. I love Stromer's laugh. You guys are a good team, and I appreciate your help. Thanks.
Okay, so there's a baseboard, and the baseboard's got a gap because the wall is sunk in or out, and so on and so forth. Okay, so what do we do here? So whenever there's...
That was a nice cut around that pillar base. Did you see that?
Yeah, must have used one of those feeler gauge things.
That's very nice. Wow.
Yeah. All right, so now, and there's a picture of us at the Hilarities or wherever the hell we were. Where were we?
That says Hilarities right over
your
head.
Why is it? Oh, it's the first letter looks like an A because it's got a star right where the top of it would be.
Anyway. Hilarities.
Hilarities. All right. God bless you for coming out. So now I'm going to give you some stellar advice. If there's a gap behind some baseboard and you want to suck the baseboard in, there's ways to do it, but now the baseboard is just going to suck in. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to dip in. Like, you're going to see it, you know? And if there's no stud to screw into, let's just say you wanted to suck the baseboard in, and there was no stud back there. I might take... Okay, here you go. Maybe this will work. There is a bottom plate. That's a 2x4. Comes up an inch and a half from the floor. One could get one of those small head screws. It's like a kind of a coarse thread, you know, 2-inch. With the small head, with like the square drive on it, get up. I would go up about an inch and a half from the bottom of the floor, kind of depending on the thickness of the floor, kind of try to figure out where that 2x4 ended. Maybe go down a little from the bottom floor, you know, from the inch and a half up from the slab, up from the subfloor, and I would drill a pilot hole. And I would angle it in at about an inch and a half, and I would try to suck it into the bottom plate, which will suck it in some.
That's a good idea. You can hold that in with your foot and shoot your nail gun at multiple angles, different directions, and sometimes it will stay in the drywall only. But I think I like your idea better. Try and shoot straight into drywall without angle.
Straight in is no good. Right. But you can also put some adhesive back there, some like Gorilla Glue or something, and then kick it off with a 2x4 or something and literally flex it in. Like cut a 4-foot 2x4 with a little bit of an angle on it, kick it off to the next wall in the hall next to it, put the Gorilla Glue in there and wedge it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You could also caulk it and take a broad knife, a 12-inch knife, and just run it from the baseboard up with drywall mud and just fill that divot in your wall. And that would also, but that's a lot more work for you.
I wouldn't caulk it first, but I would run that broad knife and try to get that divot, float that divot out of there.
Yeah, because that'll be less noticeable than, to your point, the bending baseboard on the floor that's wavy. You'll see it more with the paint line and the small baseboard that you have, and you'll notice it much more.
Also, the big gaps where you're boxing it out around the post. The problem with the painter's caulk is it always sucks in and droops and shrinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing about the painter's caulk is anything bigger than a light eighth, and it really starts sucking in, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
But maybe if you went with a white 100% silicone, you could bridge that quarter inch gap without it sucking in.
Right. But you want to practice with a small hole in your caulk gun, getting an even bead. So, because if you try and run your finger over the silicone, it may look crappy and you're not going to be able to sponge that out.
You could also take a little foam and slide it behind in the gap so the shit doesn't just fall down and fill up the gap, fall down to the floor.
Yeah, you know, but I like your silicone idea the best.
I like the silicone mixed with a thin round rod, like a 1/4 inch or 3/8 round rod that you cut and stuff down an eighth deep. You know what I mean? So we have some backing for the silicone.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
What are you, some kind of super duper pro-am cat?
I see things in my mind. And that's
all you got,
problem.
Baby doll.
That's all
they're
I
right
got.
There in there. Yep.
All right. Let's see. Kurt is on from New Jersey. I think New Jersey, by the way, quietly, highest death coronavirus per million, New Jersey.
Where?
New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Per
million.
Going down.
Higher than New York.
Really?
You turn on the news, and it's always Texas and Florida and Texas and Florida and Texas and Florida. They don't say anything about New Jersey. New Jersey, the highest.
Really?
Quite a bit more. Like,
I wonder why that is.
New Jersey per million is like 175 people. Texas per million is like 12 people.
Really?
And when you turn on the news, it's all Texas. Interesting, right?
Yeah, you know it.
All right, let me hit Tommy John, and then we'll talk to Kurt from New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey. Is New Jersey the highest?
I'm investigating, Kurt. But I believe that's correct.
Tommy John, secret to staying sweat-free this summer is Tommy John. Tommy John is summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women, like having your own body AC unit rolling right on you. Made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow. It evaporates sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, or soft zoom ready tees and polos. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced super breathable designs. I wear mine every night. Every night I hit that rowing machine. Every night I work up a sweat.
Now, have you ever been on that row? Have you ever rowed a one-man scull?
No, I'm from North Hollywood.
I bet it would translate. You probably haul ass in that thing and then wear those Tommy Johns. If you fall in the water, you get it back out of it and you're fine. It dries out.
They got a guarantee. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. No adjustment needed. Right, Matt?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, Kurt 40, New Jersey.
Man, you guys are freaking me out now. Is that the case here? Die from COVID?
The last I checked, you're probably not going to make it through this phone call, so talk fast. We'll have your next, we'll give the answer to your next of kin.
I got you.
Let us know if we can have some of the stuff.
As of July 15th.
Well,
hold on. As of July 15th.
Which is today as we record. Per 100,000 people, New Jersey 175, New York 167, Connecticut 123. Those are your top three.
What's Florida and Texas and Arizona?
Arizona's 32. Texas is 12.
12. Florida. Why is every time I turn on CNN, it's like, oh, I got a problem in Texas.
Florida's 21.
Florida's 21. Texas is 12. How come every time I turn on the news, it's all Florida and Texas? It's never New Jersey.
I'm betting on the gutter. Is it the gutter rat theory that they have the stronger immune systems? And I'm out there in the streets giving out Narcan to overdoses every day. So,
oh, you are? What do? You drive an ambulance?
I'm a firefighter.
Oh, firefighter. Nice.
Yeah, luckily they didn't have to wait but 6 years.
Oh, because you're a white guy.
It's not all that, but it's politics, man. It's a lot of politics.
So,
wait, what do you shoot the guys with when they OD? What is it?
Narcan.
You shoot it in their nose. It's just a liquid spray.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How many times you do that a week, you think?
How many? Oh. Probably 50, at least myself. Jeez. Personally.
50 a week.
A week. Maybe the whole department, that number wouldn't surprise me, a week.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Mm.
I've gotten the same person twice in one shift.
Okay, so if that guy turns up again, can you just pretend to shoot the stuff and then send me that one?
They get mad, man. They go into instant withdrawal.
They
are not happy when they wake up.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, the good news is your governor's doing a bang-up job with the COVID.
Oh, man, he's killing it, yeah. Oh, man.
But he doesn't make it onto CNN. It's interesting. All right, so...
So, anyway.
What's the question, sorry?
So I got a typical row home with like a shared brick wall that, you know, you share with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's brick with like a skim coat to kind of make it smooth.
Yeah.
But it's super noisy. And I usually go pretty far above and beyond with noise proofing when I do the rehabs. So I've used like green glue and Rock-Sol sound, safe and sound, and decoupling the drywall and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't sure, you know, how do I connect? I'm trying to save the space. So instead of putting just a 2x4 wall there, I'm trying to go like maybe green glue with drywall right against the brick. But is something like that going to hold?
So we're talking about quiet rock. Is that what we're talking about? What are you talking about?
Quiet rock, and then there's actually a green glue. It's like, I think that's what they use in quiet rock. It's like built in, but mm-hmm. I've used before. It's two layers of drywall, and you put this liquid stuff in between, and that forms that barrier.
Right.
What are you trying to achieve with this? You're trying to soundproof, or you're trying to what? What is your goal?
Soundproof it from the neighbors.
What are your neighbors up to?
Well, that's interesting you ask. Right now, it's a gentrifying neighborhood, but directly next to me are three Megan's Law offenders, and you know, there's a couple of good guys over there, but I'm not a huge fan of.
All right,
you know, these guys, man.
Right. For the soundproofing, you're going to want to do furring strips off the brick and get an inch or three quarters of an inch or whatever you want, some airspace between the brick and the drywall. That will amplify the soundproofing. If you just go straight up on the brick, it's not as successful. Fur it off the brick with something either.
Well, wait a minute. Hold,
you know,
sorry,
channel or,
sorry.
You know, or
hold on, Stromer. Sorry for cutting you off. But what's on there right now? Is there something on there now, or is it just brick?
It's got like a skim coat of maybe like a quarter inch, so it makes it a flat and smooth.
That's
wall.
It, and that's it. It's just brick with the skim on it.
Right, and then there is. I mean, I've drilled through this brick, so. Between my brick and the neighbor's brick, there is a gap there that should help a little bit.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. So, and it's on the wall where there's already these old steps that are skinny as it is. So,
yeah,
if I have to fur it out, you
yeah.
know.
Well, okay. So, soundproofing is about two things. It's about a muffling, a thickness, like, you know, stopping
density.
Density. And then it's also about isolating. You know, it's about it's not transferring the vibration. You know, so when they do a real world-class studio, they actually cut the slab so that sound can't transfer from outside to inside. And they make a gap there and they put an expansion joint in it. And so there's kind of two ways to do it. That quiet rock stuff, I used that shit in my master bedroom some years ago. And I'm here to tell you, it works. It works well.
Big time.
And the quiet rock, which is just like 5/8 drywall, it's just made for quiet. And I think they have maybe a special kind of tape and maybe even a special kind of mud. I can't recall, but the quiet rock on the hat channel, that kind of creates that air gap between the masonry and then the quiet rock. I think that'll do you pretty good.
Okay. Oh, so I could use like the hat channel, attach that.
Yeah, use the hat channel, and then it'll screw into that. That becomes the place for your drywall contact points. Instead of having to use it either adhesive onto the brick, you can then go ahead and just screw traditionally onto the hat channel.
And I'm gonna ask Gary if the hat channel has like neoprene or rubber isolators so that the hat channel isn't flat on the masonry.
It does. If you want to go that next step, that would definitely be it would be vinyl load mass vinyl strips under the hat channel, and then the hat channel, and then the drywall to the hat channel.
So you have the masonry wall. Instead of putting the metal hat channel right on the masonry, which would transfer the sound or the vibration wherever, you put a neoprene or whatever pad to absorb that. Then you put the quiet rock on top of the hat channel.
And I only think you'd need one layer. I don't think you're going to need two.
Yeah.
Because you have masonry, which is great. That's like the best first step.
Yeah. Agreed. All right.
I switched over to YouTube TV. Is the hat channel that DirecTV or Spectrum?
You're thinking of the tip of the cap channel.
Ah, yeah. That's the one.
You're thinking of the Spice channel back in the 80s.
Hey, actually...
I used to watch the blank screen of the Spice channel, and every so often there would be like a naked bosom that would be in focus, and then it would go back to static, but I'd wait for 20 30 50 2 hours, who knows, depending on the day. That's how it used to be back in my day.
I'm gonna quiz our own Porcelain Punisher on his very same subject because I know he's a Simpsons fanatic, and I know he remembers the episode where Bart was selling admission to watch one of those nudie channels when they stole cable on one of the greatest Simpson episodes ever, which is Homer steals cable. What was the name of the sort of naughty station, like the Spice station that they had back when they had the cable package and they had like the Spice or the Playboy channel?
Those were the days.
What You are uniquely qualified.
I am, but I'm searching my brain for this. I feel it in the tip of my tongue, but I could not procure it.
Mm.
It's a shame.
But yet you call yourself a fan.
Yeah. It's been a long time, to be fair. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Not so long for this podcaster.
Do you know the answer?
I do. You ready? And this is where it's all coming full circle, Matt. Get ready to attempt to kick yourself. Top Hat Entertainment.
Wow.
You know, I'm in a unique position. I could take my flip-flop off and kick myself with it.
Please do. Was that, in fact, true, Gary? Was it Top Hat Entertainment? Now, I remember Bart was wearing a top hat, right? And he was ushering everyone in and getting money from them to watch what I think he called Top Hat Entertainment Channel.
The Top Hat Channel.
The Top Hat Channel. Now, thus the top, the hat, and the Spanked Revision all just came. Now, that's my brain, everybody. I just put everything together.
That's real nice. Powerful. That's real nice work.
Powerful.
Real nice work.
One of the best Simpson episodes ever, but...
it's called Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment.
Oh, really? It's not Homer steal. Well, he steals cable in the...
He does, in fact, steal cable.
It's a great episode, and he's bringing all the young school kids in and charging them to watch the Top Hat Channel.
Says here he only charges them a quarter, which is a bargain.
I know. Well, I mean, that was like season three. I mean, two. That was like 1990 or 89 or something. I don't know what year that was.
It was 91. February 91.
February 91, but that...
Oh, 50 cents. Not such a bargain.
That was one.
Is it possible to steal cable anymore? Can we still steal cable?
Yes.
So says bootlegging Gary. All right. Let's go to line three. Let's see. Stromer, you got a piece of business you want to take care of?
Heck yeah. You kidding me? Listen, right now in the world, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for, people? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Heck no, that's never going to happen. But you saving money, that can happen. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. You got a couple of months. Switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. That's geico.com.
All right. Let's see. Michael, 37, from Austin. Michael?
Hey.
Yeah, man.
So I had a situation probably back in January. We noticed some water coming out of the bottom of the toilet. Mm-hmm. Had the wax ring replaced, but now, I don't know, 6 months later, the floor is a little spongy. The tile's kind of popping. I'm just wondering where we need to go from there, replace the subfloor, or what the good next steps would be for this thing.
Well, obviously, you're on a subfloor. You're not on a slab, right?
Yep, raised foundation.
And you say the tile's popping, so you have some cement board under there, some Wonder Board or Hardieback or something?
I would think so. I haven't got down to that level yet, but yeah, I would guess so.
What year's the home?
This part would have been built probably like 2008, something like that.
So probably got the Hardiebacker on there, wouldn't you say, Stromer?
I would say so, and I think the best thing might be to take that toilet up, look at the profile from the wax ring down between the framing and the Hardiebacker board, whatever you have, to see if somehow that plywood is rotted, there's movement, the joists are wacky, maybe the plumber cut joists, unfortunately, and your floor is not filled with integrity at that place. So we have to see how that framing...
It's not filled with integrity.
It can be empty of integrity.
It's not bursting with pride.
It's not bursting with pride. It might be bursting with a bad job framing, or maybe they cut. A lot of times, crappy plumbers will cut joists to fit their toilet flange in so they don't have to do the extra work. So
that's true.
I would look there first. If there's movement, that's why the tile's moving.
And God forbid they... Sometimes they... God, I've seen it. I've seen particle board, you know, subflooring, which is never good, OSB is probably better. Ply is probably the best.
And then it gets wet and it rots, and then it starts, you know, the plywood starts separating, and that's where movement shows up. And, you know, it sounds to me like that's what happened. I would imagine they cut the joist to put that flange.
Well, either way, how big are the tiles?
Let's see, probably like 3 inches. I mean, we have more of the tile in the big sheets, so we have extra tile, but it's just kind of a square pattern with a bigger square and a smaller square.
All right. That was fun and uninformative.
See if the flange is moving freely when you take the toilet off, too, because that could also be where, you know, it's either the bolts are not. So if the flange is moving and it's a plastic flange, which it probably is because it's a newer home, and it's not anchored to an appropriate framing member or subfloor, that's where you're going to get that movement with the toilet. And then it'll lift up every time you get on and off, and water will seep out under the ring no matter what you do.
Well,
there has to be rigidity under that floor again.
All right. So let's lift the toilet, shut the angle stop in the back, undo the hose, the feed, lift the toilet. And yeah, I agree with Stromer. See if that flange is steady. If the flange isn't steady, that's an issue. But if the floor's delaminating and popping, that's an issue.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's kind of a little bit like cancer that you have to kind of cut it out and replace it.
You might have to cut joist to joist and pull the whole subfloor out and rebox the framing again to do it the right way. That's the worst case scenario.
Right.
But there's nothing really to be done from up under the house, right? I mean, it's all, we do have a crawl space, but I don't know.
You could have a crawl space. Really, oh, okay. First floor crawl space. Okay.
If you could get under there, you could reframe right under the flange and try and box it out and have support somehow, and then reattach screws maybe from the new framing up into the plywood subfloor.
Is the toilet jiggly?
No, it's not.
So
there's kind of a floor around it.
It's probably not the flange, but I'll tell you what you could do. You could go up under there with the flashlight, and you could check the flange. Physically put your hand on the flange and see if you can like flex it or move it. And then look at the plywood, the bottom side of the plywood around it, see if it's black, rotted, water damage. Then you're going to have to kind of take it from there. How are you in love with the tile?
No, it's fine. We're not really looking to change it. But like I said, we have spare tile from when they built the house. So we have to tear some up. We have to replace
the tile. How physically big is the footprint of the bathroom?
It's small. It's our half bath. I don't know, 8x4, something like that. Yeah. It's a small bathroom under the stairs.
You might be in full jackout mode. I mean, it depends
sounds
on what
like
that
a
subfloor.
Sounds like a crappy subfloor to me. That's what it sounds like.
If that thing leaked for a good long time, that floor is degraded a lot, and you may just be in full jackout replacement mode. I mean, it's always nice if you're not really fond of the current tile because you're like, good, here's a good excuse to change it to some 1x1 marble or something like that. But go under it. I'd go under it first. Why don't you go under it and get your flashlight and take a picture of it and send us the picture, and then do me a favor, take a picture of the bay next to it where there isn't any water damage or where it's free and clear or in the closet or, you know, under the stairs, just so we can kind of get a little before and after. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right.
Yep, I can do that.
Thanks, Michael. Do that.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Ace Man.
Yeah.
I kept reading here. This is just a little fun fact. That same episode features the debut of one of your favorite characters, Troy McClure.
Troy McClure is in that episode. Let's see. Now, is he talking about doing movies with Dolores Montenegro, or is he selling something? Oh. Yeah, I see. I think maybe it's this one. We now return to Troy McClure and Dolores Montenegro in Preacher with a Shovel.
I'm honestly not sure. That sounds like it could be right, but this wiki page I'm on just features a big picture of Phil Hartman and talks about how it was the inception of the character.
The greatest they'd be the greatest Troy McClure stuff and Simpsons stuff is when he goes, "Hi, I'm actor Troy McClure. You may remember me from such hit films as Gladys, the Groovy Mule, and Today We Live, Tomorrow We Die."
Your face just lit up
Troy McClure was the best. Yeah, I'm trying to think of where Preacher with a Shovel would be. And probably the joke would be, you may remember me from such films as Today We Live, Tomorrow We Die, and Gladys, the Groovy Mule. Always the best. But Preacher with a Shovel always made me laugh. And by the way, all those movies are kind of movies that sort of existed in the 60s and the 70s. They're just tweaking them.
Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Remember that one? That's right.
And there was a mule that kicked field goals in the Disney movie, right?
Yeah, there was. Heck yeah. What was that? It was Kurt Russell in that one or Don Knotts? It was always one of those.
All those guys were in all those movies. Yeah. And the mule that kicked field goals, Gary.
That wasn't Mr. Ed, right? No. That was a TV series.
No, that was just the mule that kicked field goals. And they always had Gus. That's right.
His name is Gus.
That's right.
Who's in it? Let me see who's in it. Oh.
Gus is in that movie. Conway.
Don Knotts. Yeah.
Ed Asner.
Tim Conway was in it. Bob Crane.
Dick Van Patten.
Oh, Dick Butkus was in it.
Yeah. Johnny Unitas. They take a bunch of actual players in there, too. Tom Bosley.
Course
from Happy Days.
And the Sistine Chapel. When I was in there, I told you that story.
He ran into who played Father Flanagan, I think, in a TV show as well.
He was going for inspiration.
Yeah, that was always one of those. They'd always have that scene in every Disney movie and just in every bad movie where they'd go, "All right, we're going to kick a field goal, bring the mule out," and then the ref. The coach from the opposing team would run over to the ref and he'd go, wait a minute. What's going on here? You can't let a mule kick field goals. And then the ref would pull out the rule book and he'd go, "You show me in the rule book where it says a mule can't kick field goals." I don't know if that's great writing because I can't imagine it. Because in that case, you'd have to pull out every animal from Noah's Ark and put it in the rule book.
The rule book, yeah, right.
You have the trailer for Gus, the Groovy Mule?
Okay. I do. Here, I'll put it up.
What is this, 1971?
I'll find it.
Oh, you guys, what used to pass for entertainment, people. This is a major movie. This is a major film.
Yeah.
Introducing the greatest halftime act in all of professional football, direct from Yugoslavia.
"Hey, Rob, throw Andy a ball."
"Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper."
Probably Dick Butkus.
"Here you go.
That's kid. There he is.
Welcome to the NFL.
You okay, kid?"
Yes, sir.
1976.
"My brother does it all the time."
He would say a word to get him to kick it.
"I want you to
like,
see that mule
this.
Kick this ball."
"Mr. Cooper, Gus has never kicked a ball like this before."
"Andy, can't you get him to try? For the kind of money I laid out, I've at least entitled to see him miss."
"Go ahead, Andy. Just try it."
"Come on, Andy."
He says some word in like Yugoslavian, like "Yontis," and then the guy kicks. Probably be some sound effect involved with the ball going through the uprights. It sounds like a rocket ship or something.
"With your finger. Hold it with your finger, kid." Okay. Now, how do you get him to kick?
I usually just yell, Oyage.
Oh, music.
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Oyage.
We know where this is going, right? That donkey's playing in the NFL.
You know he is.
Mm.
Man, the fact that you remembered the word, the idea that there was a word and the sound effects was fantastic.
Well, the sound effects thing, that just comes along. You get that with the price of admission, stupid sound effects.
Yeah, one of Ed Asner's finest roles. It was a tender portrayal, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, we have Troy McClure's.
We found the one from that episode, the debut of Troy McClure. It's not any of the ones that you said, I don't believe.
Give me a clue of the movie. Let's see if I can remember.
It's actually not even a movie. He's hosting a something else.
He's selling. Is he selling teeth whitening stuff?
That would appear to be correct.
Is he with Dr. Nick Riviera?
That's the one.
All right. Let's. All right.
Products you could only imagine before. The Foam Dome. The Jet Walker. Mr. Sugar Cube.
I love this one.
That baby changed our lives.
I'm actor Troy McClure. You might remember me from such TV series as Buck Henderson, Union Buster, and Troy and Company's Summertime Smile Factory. But I'm here to tell you about Spiffy, the 21st century stain remover.
Oh, hold on. He has Edgar Allan Poe. He has Edgar Allan Poe's headstone. Here we go.
Stain remover. Let's meet the inventor, Dr. Nick Riviera.
Thank you, Troy. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Troy, I brought with me the gravestone of author and troubled soul Edgar Allan Poe.
One of our best writers.
Yes, but unfortunately, a century of neglect has turned this tombstone into a depressing eyesore.
So what? I guess we're going to have to throw it away.
Not so fast, Troy. With one application of Spiffy, you'll think the body's still warm.
The body's still warm. Where do you give the price?
Quoth the raven, what a shine.
Woo! That's one clean tombstone.
Hey, Dad, you got a power drill?
In a garage.
Check.
I'm offering 3 bottles, enough to clean 1,000 tombstones, for only $39.95.
I'm afraid you're going to have to do better, Doctor.
Yeah, give us a break, Doctor.
But, Troy, how can I make it lower than $39.95?
Find a way.
Hey, Homer, I can't find the safety goggles for the power saw.
If stuff starts flying, just turn your head.
Oh, check.
Okay, I'll throw in a 4th bottle, the applicator glove, and a State of Kansas Jello mold,
$29.95. All right, it's the best. author and troubled soul, Edgar Allan Poe. That's right. This is why Edgar Allan Poe. This is why it's the best. That's right. Union Buster. Oh, man. Yeah. Now, see, remember we were talking about movies that were sort of there? Like, he had, like, CNC Sunshine Factory. Joe Namath starred in a movie called, like, CC Rider and the Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. Like, they had bad 60s movies. If you look at the Joe Namath biker movie.
CC and Company.
And there was also a hit song.
Yeah, CC Rider. But CC and Company. So all they had to do was take really shitty stuff that we already had and tweak it just a little bit. All right, let me hit JB Weld here. JB Weld, proud sponsor of Ace on the House epoxy adhesives. I use them every other day. Available at jbweld.com, retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, and Michaels and more. It's JB Weld. All right, one more email question here, man.
All right, this is from Danny in Sacramento. Hey, guys, I have this side yard that runs along my garage. The garage is a separate unit behind my house, so this part is very tucked away. It's about 7 foot wide. I want to put a concrete slab down for at least the back part so I can put up a tool shed. Down the road, I might want to take out the trees, pave the whole thing. After watching some videos, I think I can handle laying down a small concrete slab. My question is, how do I pave right up to the edge of the fence? How would the framing of the slab go? I'm concerned about not being able to walk around the slab to smooth out all the edges. Open to any ideas? Thanks for your help.
Well,
first of all, he's got to excavate 4 to 6 inches of the dirt.
Yeah, I don't know about six. I don't know about 6 inches, but
well, look how high it is up on that fence on the right.
Oh, yeah. Well, the slab should be 4 inches thick.
Right. Right.
You can use number 3 rebar for your slab, or you can use that screen. Roll it out. Put on some risers. If I was going against the house with this slab, I'd put a 2x4 in there, or maybe I'd put a 1x in there. You got to have something for a screed, you know what I mean? Like, you got to stake something in there. Maybe, trying to think, and then how do you do it? Well, you could, you could stake it off and frame it with 2x4s or not frame it, but form it with 2x4s. The 2x4s at 3.5 would be thick enough for the thickness of it. You could, you know, you kind of break it off into pieces, and you could kind of pour it and finish it as you go. Once it sets up a little bit, you can walk on it with something broad, like put a piece of plywood down or something, step on it, kneel on it, finish it off. I don't know what else you got, Stromer.
Well, I would, so you would dig out the dirt 4 inches down. You would probably want to do pressure treat it in there to form it, because it might be difficult to get it out mm-hmm. once you start screeding over it, right?
Yeah.
And it's a weird cramped area. So
okay.
What I would do is I'd only form not quite to the fence. I'd stay off the fence on the right by 6 inches so that you had somewhere to go with your screed. Same on the left side, and then make sure that you grade the slab away from your house. That's critical.
Oh, Stromer, that's why you get the big bucks. Slope it away from the house.
A quarter inch per foot on your level, right? And that represents like a quarter bubble on a 4 foot level.
Don't have that shit moving toward the house or even flat. Get it away from the house.
And you could maybe do some. You could do a wavy bender board in plastic that would look really cool on the right side, because there's a little tree there that you don't want to cut out. You may want to leave that and do sort of an organic wavy form on the right, and it might then give you a little garden bed on the right, or at least a place for drainage to go, not right onto the fence, but in dirt before it goes to the fence. You could put your shed on that.
Stromer, you know what just happened? Just played an NBA championship game. You took the first 3 quarters off and just caught on fire in the fourth quarter. We just kept feeding you the rock, and you just kept draining the threes.
That's it.
That's just what happened there.
That's it.
All right, let's go out while Stromer's on top. You can see me do live stand-up this Friday, Saturday, July 24th, 25th, Dallas, as an improv, then back to Texas on July 31st and August 1st, San Antonio. Go to amcroll.com for everything. Get my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Leave a review on Amazon. I love reading your reviews. It's a very good book. And get the audiobook if you like. Go to our YouTube, Adam Carolla, YouTube.com/Adam Carolla/YouTube, or the Adam Carolla, sorry, YouTube.com/Adam Carolla. See all our free stand-up there as well. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is
is Corolla Digital.